All right, we're on our last part of our series, Decisions Determine Destiny. You know how important it is to make good decisions. The first two that I went on is mostly talking about how to make a bad decision. I think we probably all know how to do that one, right? First, we looked at Saul, we're going to look at him a little bit today, but we looked at Saul, the king, and how he made a bunch of bad decisions. Then we looked at the idea of, who's that strong guy again? Oh, yeah, Samson. It's interesting, these are all S's. I just now thought of that. So Samson, how he made some good decisions, then some very bad decisions. And today we're going to, you know, not really look at anybody in particular, but Solomon is one, and he kind of got a little messed up too. But we're going to share how to make some good decisions. So, and it's important that we do learn how to make a good decision, because when you do that, perspective is important when we make these kind of decisions. You know, perspective, how you look at things, where you're standing, your vantage point. Because sometimes we are looking at things the wrong way, and then it causes us to get to the wrong conclusion. And for me, I think it's good if we start off with the premise that we set up some non-negotiables in our life. We all need some non-negotiables, meaning core values, how important it is to have some core values, because they keep us on mission. Core values is really your kind of your internal belief system that guides you through the decision-making process, and also really how we live our life. You know, what are some things that we are allowed to do that is good, but what are some things we just won't step over that line? You know what I'm saying? Because there's lines out there. You know, some of them are blurred, right? Get in those places where they're blurred. And, you know, I found out that these core values, if you have them, it'll help you out a lot. And what they do is, if you have the right set of core values, a lot of decisions that we make are going to be pre-made for us. Because we'll know that, yes, this is okay, or no, that steps over the line. And see, those core values are guardrails that will keep us going into one ditch or the other, right? You know, you got the road, and then you got a ditch on this side, and you got a ditch on that side. So you got two ditches and one way to go. So we got to make sure that we are, you know, trying to keep it in the middle of the road within reason. Amen? Okay. So Proverbs 16:3 is our jump-off scripture. And I read it from the Amplified. It says, roll your works upon the Lord, meaning commit and trust them wholly to Him, and He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. So we want our plans to be established and succeed. Success is important. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. We thank you for a special stirring here today in each of our hearts, Lord. We thank you as we draw nigh to you. We know that you will draw nigh to us. Lord, we thank you for the penetrating power of your presence to be here today. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory, and I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this passage here about roll your works upon the Lord. So to me, the best decisions that we make is going to be getting God involved in those. To be getting God involved in all our decisions, especially the important decisions. You know, what works there. So, and then it talks about, and this is what's in the brackets of the Amplified part. It in Amplified translation, it says, if we commit and trust wholly to Him, that means all the way, then He will cause our thoughts to become agreeable. Okay. So He will help to cause our thoughts. So, meaning He will help our thinking processes. Okay. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but we think wrong. It's so easy to think wrong. And we're going to go into that a little bit more as we go along here. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, because this is my last part of this series, because I'll be gone. And I wanted to try to throw everything in this so we can be able to make a good decision. A scripture we should know also is Psalms 37:4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so what I see from that, it ties into this 16:3. It, you know, talks about when we delight in God, He will give us the right desires. And see, that's what we need. Because when we come into this walk with God, shall we say, See, I was raised not in the church, hypothetically. I went maybe a dabble a little bit as a kid. I never was had a lot of influence from, I guess, teaching and preaching. Never attended a Sunday school class very much. Never went to a youth group. You know, I just kind of was out there learning on my own. And so I got to the place where I allowed my mind to be framed by worldly decision-making processes, you know? Because you pay attention long enough, you might learn something, correct? So, you know, so I was learning how the world kind of thinks and how it does things. I was fairly street savvy, to be honest. I mean, extremely. And so I learned those processes and how they work. But see, when I came into the kingdom of God, things are a little bit different. You know, I like that scripture, God says, my ways are not your ways. Well, I know that. I knew that coming into this. But the good news is that when we immerse ourselves in the Word of God and we start to bring the Holy Spirit into our life to lead us and guide us, then we can start to get to the place in our life where we start lining our thinking processes up more with God and His Word. And that's going to direct us into the things that we need to know in life. Because we all just have one shot at it down here. I mean, we have eternity with God, and I praise God for that. But why wait till you get to heaven before things go halfway decent for us? You know what I mean? Why wait? Oh, when we get to heaven, everything's going to be fine. Well, yeah. But I think if we pay attention enough and we start to learn from God, then I think that maybe it'll keep us out of one ditch or the other. I've learned this about God. God doesn't want us in the ditch. Amen? You know, I spent a lot of time growing up in a ditch. Physical ditches, you know, driving home. You know, them sort of ditches, you know. Didn't quite make it all the time. But I did end up at home, but I didn't quite make it all the way there, you know, with my car. You know, I was in one ditch or the other. And ironically, I remember one night, 2 weeks in a row, I went in the same spot in the same ditch. I mean, that was embarrassing, having to go knock on that door, if you know what I'm saying. But I mean, it was just I was worldly thinking. I wasn't right, you know. And so I found out after I got saved that God has a different way of doing things, and I wanted to learn how He did it. So to me, there are good decisions, and then there are God decisions. You know, we can make a lot of good decisions if we just, you know, can learn some things, but I want to get to the place where I can start making some God decisions, where I want my life to line up with God's perfect will for my life. Because while I'm down on this earth, I want to make an impact. I want to see as many people saved and healed and filled with the Spirit and be able to walk in His ways and to be able to come out of darkness into His marvelous light. So I want to be the best example I can be to the world around me. Have I arrived yet? No. But I'm heading that way. There's going to be some setbacks along the way. But I do know that I want to learn to not make so many bad decisions. Now, God, like I said, He knows everything. You know, I always like that quote, you know, you and I, if we really had some time on our hands and wanted to do it, we could go out to an apple tree and we could count all the apples that that tree produced that year. You know, if you wanted to, you could do that. But that's as far as we could get. But God, on the other hand, you can grab it. He can take an apple and look at that seed, and God can tell you how many apples are going to come out of that seed because He's all-knowing. So with my lightning-quick intellect, I figured, well, maybe I ought to get to know God a little better. Now, I know God's not going to tell me how many, I mean, it's an irrelevant point, but I mean, I do know that I want to get to the place where I hear from God. Now, I want to say this because I don't want to leave it out because it wasn't in my notes. I thought about what was in worship. You know, don't stress yourself out so much trying to hear God's voice or trying to make sure that God's in this decision because you can wear yourself out. You know what I mean? You can really, you know, because what it does, it's going to affect your emotions, and we're going to go into that. You know, you just need to walk in the perfect confidence knowing that I want to live for God and I know that God wants to reveal things to me that I need to know. So you need to get to the point in your life that God's not going to leave you out of the loop. Amen? God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be able to walk in His will. He wants you to be put into the position that He has called you into. He's on our side. Remember that. God is always on our side. And so if we have that perspective, you know what I'm saying? I was talking about perspective in the beginning. So if we go into this process believing that God really wants for us to succeed and God wants to reveal to me what I need to know. Now, technically, it's when I need to know it. How many would like to know what's going to happen in 40 years? News, I won't be here. I'm 66. You do the math. I mean, who knows? You never know. But, you know, but I do know that sometimes we want to see everything down there, but God is wanting to lead us through the process of faith, and that's why He calls it daily bread. Amen? It's daily bread. You know, God's not going to give you enough bread for the whole lifetime at one time. He's going to give you daily bread. Each and every step we follow, we walk with Him. And you just have to have that kind of trust in your life that God is going to do that. So to do that, there's some parameters that we have to set up. Number one is God needs to be first in our life. You know, what's the most important relationship in your life right now? If you say your children, you failed. If you say your spouse, you failed. God has to be number one. Because only when God is number one will these other relationships be able to flourish in life. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? He needs to be number one in our life and be able to walk, and we need to be able to walk with Him. Now, he's going to get into Solomon a little bit. We're going to look at that. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, that's when the wheels came off the cart. You know what I'm saying? In Ecclesiastes, Solomon's life is kind of explained out a little bit, and it kind of tells about some wrong thinking he got into. He started off good, but then he kind of went away, and then he came back at the end. You know, Solomon actually said in Ecclesiastes 12:13 that life is meaningless without God, which is good. That's when he came back to God. You know, in the end, he concluded that to fear God and keep His commandments. But before that, he kind of thought that life was vanity. It's all just meaningless. And I'll be honest, if you think about it, if you wake up every day and you think that life is meaningless, how are you going to live your life? What's it going to be like for you at the end of the day when you close your eyes? You know what I mean? You know, if you think there's no purpose to life, then you will not have one. We have to understand that God has a purpose. So it wasn't like that in the beginning because, and what happened was he's been regarded as the wisest man ever, right? Because the wisdom that he poured out, remember he, you know, the women came and they had, you know, one son between them and because they ate the other one, which is another story in itself, because they were starving. And so what happened is one woman swapped the baby with the other woman. And so they were saying, it's mine, no, it's mine, it's mine, it's no, it's mine. And they brought him before Solomon. Solomon said, here, give me a sword. I'll cut the baby in half and you can each have a half. Well, that's pretty out there, ain't it? That's definitely outside the box thinking. I bet nobody's ever thought of that one before. Well, what it does, it smoked out the truth. Because what happened then is that the woman whose child it was says, no, let her have him. And the other woman said, no, go ahead and do it. Well, then Solomon knew that the mother was not going to have her kid cut in half. So she'd give it to this one. And everybody was just astounded by his wisdom. So he had a lot of wisdom because when Solomon started out, you know, and he followed David, David was a tough act to follow. I mean, David made some mistakes along the way, but David was a good king. He really had some high notoriety things that he did in life. I mean, big time. Killed a giant, you know, goes on and on about that. Killed lions and, you know, killed a lot of Philistines and just all the great and mighty accomplishments. I mean, he definitely had a little bit of trouble along the way with a woman. A lot of people have to, like we looked at last week, Samson had trouble with the women and Solomon is going to too. I mean, it's kind of one of those deals. But, you know, he started out really wanting to have, he prayed to God, God, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead these people. And God praised him because, wow, you could ask for anything and you asked for that. So God was just amazed. Well, that was good. Well, then along the way, Solomon kind of lost his way. And what he did, he married 700 wives and had 300 concubines. Now, that's a houseful. That's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, right? You know, kind of like, you know, your family dinners, you know, where all the women are in there and they all cook different ways and they're all in the kitchen trying to fight over the pot, you know. Now, Solomon, due to his wisdom, he thought that the reason why he did that wasn't the fact that he needed that many wives, but many of them were political alliances. He would marry these women from other kingdoms, and then that would be a sign of, you know, and that's why Solomon didn't really experience any wars during his time, you know, because of that. But he paid a price. Because with all these foreign women, guess what? They brought their foreign religions in the house. All these different deities and all these different way of thinking. How many know, if anybody's been to another country, you can kind of see that sometimes the cultures are a little bit different. And so what happened then, all this problem, it kind of made him really go off base. And he started to make a lot of decisions and he lost his way. Because life is a long time and it's easy to start out on track but later go off the rails. It can happen. And we watched it happening with Solomon. And so, like I said, it got so bad in his life that he lost his way that he said life is meaningless. I mean, here's a guy. I mean, he had, you know, many wives, right or wrong. I mean, and he had wealth. People would come visit him, just bring him this enormous gifts and things like that. So he had all the money he needed in life, all the women he needed in life. Everything was at his disposal. No wars, no threats around him. But he still said life is meaningless. And so it really messed him up. So on the outside, it looked good, but inside, without God, you have nothing. And that's why we need to get back. And fortunately for him, he got back to the place in his life where he finally figured out that without God, life is meaningless. How many's already gotten there? Amen? I hope we all have. There's no meaning without God in our life. So what do we do? Joshua 24:15 talks about a mighty man of God, and he had led the people of Israel into the promised land. Moses couldn't go because he made a little boo-boo along the way, struck the rock when he shouldn't have, and that was disrespectful to God, so he died in the wilderness, you know. But anyway, Joshua took him in, led a lot of good campaigns, finally was coming to the point where he was going to be stepping down and somebody else was going to be taking over, and he left this pearl of wisdom you and I should really grab a hold of today. Joshua 24:15. Joshua said, whom you will serve, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay, there is a core value. There is a guardrail. There is a place that we need to put ourselves and our families in. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That means we don't, if any decision comes down our path that we're going to decide to do anything contradictory to that statement, the answer is always no. Always no. Because it led away from God. See what I mean? So good core values will answer some decisions that you don't even have to think about. Why? Because it doesn't line up. It doesn't line up with what we believe. See, family boundaries are very important as we raise our kids. A lot of times, the sad part is, a lot of parents try to be their friends to their children instead of being their parent. So they don't want to make the hard choices. They don't want to say no. And then it comes back to haunt them in the end. I mean, even as a Christian parent with the boundaries, sometimes raising kids are very difficult, right? We've all been down that road. You know, they look real easy when you can control them with one hand. You know, put your hand on their head. Nope, you go this way, this way. You know, direct them through life. But when they get their own little opinions growing up there in high school, well, things can sometimes be a little bit different. But, and that's when you're going to be tested. That's when some of these things are going to come to the front. But if you already have this saddled, Dad, can I go to this, this let's say some wild concert where I'll be talking about sex, drugs, and all these things. I mean, you know, half-naked women on there. You know, you're going to send your 16-year-old boy there? You know, you've already made that decision right here. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But Dad, I'm sorry, but this is the decision we've already made. Pray about it. I don't have to pray about it. Because the decision's already been made. That does not line up with our core values, my son. Amen. We're not going to go there. End of subject. So, that's how we do it. Does our choice line up with core values? Makes it easier. Sometimes you have to really seek God. 2 Samuel 24:24, David said, "How can I offer to God something that costs me nothing?" You know, so the idea is that we must be willing to both pay and pray the price. Sometimes decisions can be costly. David made a bad decision here. He did a census, which was a symbol of not trusting God. And what happened then is that thousands of people died for that decision. I mean, most people would have quit. How about you? If you kill thousands of people just because you made a bad decision, you know, make you not want to get out of bed the next day, wouldn't it? But David, you know, God's restorative, had his hand. David's really heart was after God. He just got mixed up. Has anybody done that before? I mean, God actually said David was a man after his own heart. You know, God knows David's heart is good, but somewhere along the way, he made a mistake. He made a bad choice. So what does that tell us? We can make bad choices even though our heart is after God. So we got to be careful. And so David made that mistake and anyway ended up having to offer up a sacrifice. And this other guy came to him and, "Here, take my land. Here, I'll even give you the cow or whatever to sacrifice it." I mean, how many would say, "Wow, that's a bargain. Praise God." You know, that's a blessing. Thank God, you know. You know, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. You know, start cramming all these scriptures and my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, man. We're just getting excited. David said, hold up. I will not offer something to God that costs me nothing. Humility. He came to God with humility and he paid the price. And God forgave him. And that's what we have to do. I'm not saying we have to pay because Jesus paid the price, but we do need to sometimes humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to that. Another great example, I don't know if you ever heard of Jesus or not, but in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, I mean, here he is, the Son of God, and he's getting about ready to head to the cross. You know, he's finished his ministry up, and he was out there praying because how many know sometimes you got to pray through to get through sometimes? Amen? You know, life can be hard. And sometimes if you're not prayed up, it's going to be tough to get to the other end. Well, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." Well, he came to that place in his life and, you know, my will is not to go to the cross, Father. But not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was experiencing those things for us to show us that sometimes our flesh is going to try to lead us astray because our flesh is opposite of God. The flesh is the old nature. But Jesus showed us here that sometimes we got to pray through and sometimes just, you know, bite the bullet and just say, "God, not my will, but yours be done." And that's a sign that we need to get to that position in life. Because understand the fact that just because we're a Christian and faithfully attend church, that we still must be diligent to assume that we're thinking clearly. We can't, you know, we have to make sure that our head's screwed on straight. You know, we need to make sure about these things. So there needs to be some checks and balances. We're going to look at those here in a minute. But, you know, Jesus himself knew how to respond to a high-pressure situation. Because as you and I have probably experienced now, everybody here looks like they're old enough, pressure reveals things, right? When we get under pressure, things in our life start to come out. They get revealed. Those things that we've maybe suppressed and controlled, you know what I'm saying? We've put them down, held them down, 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 down. But all of a sudden, when we get under a pressure situation and, you know, things aren't going exactly the way that we want them, all of a sudden we start to get a little more irritable, and it kind of opens that door, or maybe even a big floodgate. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully it's this door. Maybe it's just a window. That'd be cool. But a lot of times it's a floodgate where these things come out of our life and it starts to reveal those things. And so that's why, you know, we need to walk in that humility and pray, because, you know, our flesh will always seek the easy way out. Your flesh does not want to die, meaning your old nature. It wants to rise up. It wants to control the situation. It wants to make sure it's preserved. And that's why another thing we can do to help that out is when we do fasting. Fasting will extinguish those old passions and desires a little bit. It'll put them down. It'll put them to death, actually. So that's something that we can do. You know, if you're making a big decision, sometimes people fast and do that. And that's really a help. It really, you know, brings all that ugliness out and kind of gets us to the clear stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't want to go too long here, but, you know, like silver. I've never done this, you know, but I've seen it on TV where they warm up silver, and silver looks cool when you got, you know, the finished silver. But before that, to get that, there's so many different impurities, because when they pull it out of the ground, it's mixed in with other things. So what the silversmith does, he warms it up and heats it up, and what happens when something gets heated up, the ugly comes to the top. Have you ever had the ugly come to the top? Anybody's been married very long, you know how that goes, right? Every now and then, the ugly can come to the top. Well, what do you do? Do you, you know, worship the ugly? No. What the silversmith does, he wipes it away. But yeah, there might be some good stuff in it, but he just wipes it and gets rid of it. Gets rid of that ugly stuff. And that's what repentance does. You know, when that ugly stuff comes out. Because it will come out. Just don't beat yourself up over it. Just thank God for the blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus washes it away. So another thing we can do in this is evaluate our motives when making a decision. This is hard to do because we think we're perfect as a rule, and we think we're better than sliced bread. But we need to evaluate our motives when making a decision. Why am I making this decision? Why am I coming to that conclusion? Is it something that I really want, or is it something that God wants for me? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its way is the end of death, or the end is the way of death. So the idea that we think we're doing okay, but sometimes it really leads to death. That's why we need to go through this process and try to sort some of these things out. You know, and hopefully, you know, you're not having to make a pressure decision. Like, you know, what happens is somebody says, well, you have 5 minutes, like you're at a car dealership. You know what I'm saying? And they're saying, you buy this today, I'll give you this. But if you don't buy it today, it's going to be this. Oh, no, I got to buy it today. No, you don't. You don't have to buy that today. Hey, clue, if you go in tomorrow, they might give you the same deal or maybe even a little better. You know, because why? They want to sell a car. And they want to sell it right now because it's, you know, that's just the way it works. Now, I'm not saying that's true all the time, but, you know, we don't have to feel, if you don't have to make a decision, try to put it off to you to pray through that thing. And trust that the Holy Spirit's involved in this. This is something that I wanted to get to. John 16:13 says, but when he, meaning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Okay, there we see part of the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, he does other things, but this is one of his main things that he's going to do for you and I. It says that he will guide you into all truth. He's going to guide us into all truth. And then he will disclose to you what is to come. That means he'll bring revelation to you the future things that we need to know. So we need to trust that we hear from the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's a process. It's something that we need to learn to do. Sometimes it'll come by an unction. Sometimes he'll speak through other people. But a lot of times when he's leading us alone, as we've all known before, is the fact that you'll kind of feel deep down inside that this is the right decision. This is what God I feel is doing to him. Why? Because in our bowels, it talks about our inner man is where we feel these feelings of leading by God. Not all the time. God will give you a thought too, but a lot of times you just know that you know inside, right? When you hear something, oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. That's for me. I can sense it. You know, I feel it's right. Now, hope it wasn't pizza, amen? You know, but know this, you're going to make some mistakes. Here's how it works for me. Sometimes when I feel led of the Holy Spirit, when I really feel it, that I know, that I know, that I know, it's 100% right every time. But what's hard is sometimes when I feel a little inkling, but I'm not really sure. You know, those are iffy, so then you just gotta say, God, turn up the volume. You know what I mean? I think this is what you're leading me to do, but I'm not really sure. You don't say, I'm going to go. Amen? Sometimes you just do it, and hey, be teachable. You might make a mistake, but I'd rather be for making a wrong decision trying to serve God than God trying to get me up off the couch all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I'd rather be corrected that way. So it just kind of depends. So getting to know the Holy Spirit and how important that is. Now, this may be new to some, but the Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity, right? We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are God. So when you follow the Holy Spirit, you're actually following God, right? We see that, right? We're there. We're already there. Okay. So we need to get to that point where we do trust, you know, in the voice of the Holy Spirit, that he's going to lead us and guide us. That's the Holy Spirit was given to us as a comforter, as somebody called alongside to help because Jesus left, right? Jesus went to heaven. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father now. Jesus did his ministry. He paid the price, went to the cross, rose from the dead, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And instead of leaving us all alone down here, he sent the Holy Spirit to be a part. And the blessing of that is, like we know, the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at once. The Holy Spirit's leading us here today and all across the world in different places. The same Holy Spirit's leading other people. Don't ask me how he does it. We'll never figure it out. We just roll with it, right? Amen. We just have to flow with it. We have to trust. We flow with the Spirit. The Spirit is like a river, it says in John 7. So that's the name of our church, River Life. That's Spirit Life. We want to flow with the Holy Spirit. That's our main emphasis. We want to follow because the Holy Spirit is the part of God that's really here today, and he's leading us and guiding us. And it's always confirmed through the Word. Amen? If you feel the Holy Spirit, I mean, now I'm going to do a disclaimer. This is not a very good example, but it's best that just came to my mind. You know, let's say you're in a marriage and there's no reason, there's no biblical reason for a divorce other than that you found somebody prettier. You know what I'm saying? And you feel inside that I'm supposed to go after this so-and-so. Well, that's not the Spirit of God. You know what I'm saying? That's your flesh. You know, that's something else. But see, we have the Word of God that gives you reasons for biblical divorce. You know what I mean? if you know, if you're abuse and different things and infidelity, you know, there's things there for that. Well, then that, then you're at another point. Do you want to save the marriage or you want to be free? I mean, so then that's your choice. I mean, I'm not throwing any stones. I'm just saying that's the deal. But if you're just wanting out of a marriage because you're not as happy as your friend is, well, that ain't very cool, is it? No. Will God forgive you? Yes. God's a loving God. And I hope you don't take that statement as a license to go and do what you want. But let's get to the place where we let the Word of God, let the Word of God make the final choice. That's our parameter. That's what keeps us in trouble. It, not in trouble, but keeps us out of trouble, is when we follow the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit will always confirm the Word. He will always confirm it. They work in conjunction together. So it's important. Psalms 32:8 says, God's saying here, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So there we see trusting in God. I'm going to pick up the pace here a little bit. I got a couple more to cover. James chapter 1, 5 to 7. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all. Does that mean everybody? Yes. Who gives to all generously and without reproach. It means you don't have to be perfect. It doesn't mean, you know, that, you know, you're not going to get as much as somebody else. But it says it will be given. So we got to ask of God. But this is the disclaimer. But he must ask in faith. Without any doubting. For he who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by wind. For that man ought to expect that he will receive nothing from the Lord. Okay, there's the key right there. Okay, we've got to ask in faith. But you can have just as much faith as one of those TV preachers. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes more faith. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've been saved a day, a week, a month, or a year. If we ask in faith, we can receive from God. Amen. Amen. I love God. He's not a respecter of persons. You know, amen? That's just awesome. That is awesome. So that's kind of about how when we pray, that's how we got to do. We got to ask in faith. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. I just want to throw this in there. Sometimes you just need to bounce it off some other people. Amen? Hopefully you got some counselors in your life. You know, some people, some godly people that will help you to make this decision. You know, make sure that, you know, you're not being all messed up emotionally, because our emotions will lead us astray. They will. They'll get us out there. And so hopefully you have some, and hopefully you have some here in the church, you know, that will help you, give you some good counsel. You know, hopefully you have a relationship with me. If you don't, we need to get together and talk about things. Be glad to help you, or my wife will, or maybe your teacher in your class, whatever the case may be. And try to help you through it. Now, here's the thing. If somebody comes to me for an answer on something, I prefer not to tell you what to do. I don't want that pressure. You know, I'm not going to tell you. Now, if it's in the Word of God, like I said with the marriage question, if it doesn't line up with the Word, well, I'm going to tell you what God said. Amen. You know, if you're not happy and, you know, maybe they're irritating you. That thing that you used to love about them is irritating you. Their organizational skills you used to love. Now you don't like that no more? Because they're organizing everything. They're trying to organize you. So now you don't want to be there no more. Well, I'm going to tell you, well, this is what the Word says. I said, are they beating you? No. Have they went out and ran off on you and had sex with other people? No. We're starting to whittle this down a little bit here, ain't we? You know, going to try to get this figured out. So I will tell you what the Word says. But as far as, you know, telling you which car to buy or what house to buy, I mean, I'll just ask you, can you afford it? Can you live with margin if you buy it? That's a good question. You know what I mean by margin? Is this going to break you to buy that where you can't even go out to eat if you buy that car? Can you put gas in it after you buy it? I mean, a lot of people buy all these things they can't afford to maintain. So some things are easy to obtain. Some things are not as easy to maintain. So can you maintain it? That's a key. That's a question I'll ask you. So here's some questions in closing. that we need to ask ourselves when making a good decision, and hopefully a godly decision. Number one, does it line up with the Word? Easy to sort out. If you don't know what the Bible says, I suppose Google it. Does this line up with the Word of God? Is this, until you get to know the Word. But the goal is to know the Word. Try to get that in your heart. Number two, do I get peace in my spirit when I pray about it? I mean, real godly peace. That's a way to make a decision. Sometimes you got to pray through until you get peace, until you get that decision. Number three, do I get positive input about my decision from my closest counsel? So there you go, bounce it off people. Number four, am I rushing the decision or taking time to see all sides of the situation? That's important when you're making a big decision. And lastly, am I choosing to please myself or am I choosing to please God? And that's a big one. Find out what's what, right? So that's a little bit about how to make a godly decision. And hopefully that will help you through the process. It's not something that we probably learn overnight. It's something that we learn as we walk with the Lord and build that relationship just like anything. And then we get to the place where God wants us to be. Amen? But the sad thing is, we're on such a high here. Darn. As you get older in the Lord, some of your decisions are going to be bigger. Amen? They're going to be bigger decisions. So we're always dependent on Him. All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we honor You, Lord. We thank You so much for the power of Your Spirit. Lord, that You're moving here today. I want to give opportunity today, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity today to slip up your hand if you've never been born again. Or maybe you have been born again and you kind of fell back and haven't been living for God. Not just that you made a mistake, but I mean, if you really walked away from God and you say, that's me, Pastor, I want to come back today. Either of these things, the Holy Spirit touching your heart, just slip up your hand if you feel you'd like to have prayer for that today. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're here today and you know that decision-making is hard, you're so worried about missing God, and you just want peace with that, just slip up your hand. We're going to pray that God will help you. Amen. Father God, just give peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank You for just leading by the Holy Spirit and, Lord, just keeping us into the place that You want us to be. And, Lord, we give You praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our closing song now about the Holy Spirit break out. Amen. I pray the Holy Spirit breaks out today in our life. So let's just forget about everything else going on and just kind of focus on God right now. And the altars are open if you feel like you need to come up for prayer. Amen.